بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي كفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. وقال أيضا: يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول. وقال أيضا: من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما من نبي من الأنبياء إلا قد أعطي ما مثله آمن عليه البشر، وإنما الذي أوتيت وحيا أوحى الله إليك، فأنا أرجو أن أكون أكثرهم تابعا يوم القيامة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, after Asr, we discuss about the fact that Allah has indeed conferred His great favors upon this ummah by sending to this ummah a Nabi of the caliber of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as I mentioned, in proportion to the favors that Allah Ta'ala bestows upon us, those favors enjoy certain rights over us. The rights of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were condensed basically into three: Muhabbat, Aqidat and Ita'at. We spoke about Muhabbat after Asr. The remaining two rights, that of Aqidat and Ita'at, we will discuss that now. Aqidat, as I mentioned, basically means to have the firm conviction that whatever Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought to the world, to teach the world, is totally haq, it is true, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is motivated by divine revelation. Nabi Sallallahu's words, his speech, was entirely also a form of wahi, a revelation. Whatever Nabi Sallallahu passed on to the ummah with his own words were actually revealed unto his heart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is why in the technical parlance of the scholars of Islam, the hadith, the speech of Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is also known as wahi. The only difference, the Quran Karim is known as wahi matlu, and the hadith known as wahi ghayr matlu. Matlu meaning that the Quranic verses are made tilawat of, they are recited in the namazes, and the hadith of Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not recited in the salah, but also it is wahi, it is also motivated by divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why in the Quran Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak from his own whims and desires. Whatever he speaks is fully backed up by wahi, by divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the speech of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is divine revelation. So therefore aqidat means that we have the firm conviction that whatever Nabi Kareem Sallam brought to the world has been conveyed to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the medium of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is also wahi, it is also divine revelation. So we should have that firm belief and conviction. If a person possesses or fulfills the first right of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that of Muhammad, displaying love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is not sufficient for salvation. No matter how much muhabbat a person has for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if together with that muhabbat there is no aqidat, in others there is no conviction and belief that the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are absolutely true, and it is absolute truth based on divine revelation, until then that muhabbat, that love, is worthless to him. For example, we take the example of the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Lahab. An uncle that showed great love to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much so that when he received the good news that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, that Abu Lahab had become an uncle, he was blessed with a beautiful child, a nephew, he was so overjoyed that he had a slave woman whom he set free to express his joy at the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the infancy of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we cannot even imagine how many times perhaps he carried Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an infant upon his shoulders. How much he must have caressed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kissed Nabi Karim Sallallahu and sat on Nabi Karim Sallallahu and showed love to Nabi Karim Sallallahu, love that could not be compared in that time of time, at that point of time. Such was the love displayed by the uncle to the nephew. But this muhabbat was not sufficient, because he did not have aqidat. He did not believe in the words, in the speech of Nabi Karim Sallallahu, did not accept the message that Nabi Sallallahu conveyed to the world, that of believing in one Allah, of Tawheed, not ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the glad tidings for the person that subscribes to the belief of Tawheed and the oneness, unity of Allah, the glad tidings of Jannat in the Akhirat, and also together with that believing in the prophethood of Nabi Karim Sallallahu, for such a person, glad tidings of everlasting bliss and happiness in the gardens of Jannat, that he was not prepared to accept and not believe. So when Nabi Karim Sallallahu was given the mantle of prophethood, and he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, that first and foremost, warn your close family members. So Nabi Sallallahu climbed upon the Mount of Safa, and he called out to various family members, taking the names of certain families, taking the names of certain individuals, together at the foot of the mountain of Safa. When they gathered at the foot of the mountain, Nabi Karim Sallallahu then put forward the message to them. But before the message, he posed a hypothetical question. He asked them, they tell me, because I am standing on top of the mountain, I can see what is behind me. You people are in front at the foot of the mountain. You cannot see what is behind the mountain. If I were to tell you that there was an enemy army that has gathered behind me, behind the mountain, about to attack Makkah al-Mukarrama, about to attack you people, will you believe me? So the people all in unison exclaimed that yes, we will believe you. Ma jarrabna alayka kadhiman. Till today we have never known you to speak a lie. You've got the title of As-Sadiqul Masduq, As-Sadiqul Amin, one who is truthful, honest and trustworthy. We'll definitely believe you. Even though common sense or logic tells us that perhaps there is no army behind the mountain, because if an army had to come, we could have heard the commotion of an army approaching the town. We heard nothing. But in spite of the fact that common sense tells us perhaps there is no army, but you telling us that there is an army, we are prepared to accept it. You are prepared to believe it. So much they held Nabi Karim Sawasim in esteem as far as his truthfulness is concerned. So once Nabi Sawasim got a positive reply, then he put forward the message that he was told to convey by Allah Ta'ala, that of Tawheed, believing in one Allah, leaving aside all the idols they were worshipping, and believing that Nabi Sawasim had been bestowed with the mantle of prophethood, Nabuwat. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave them glad tidings that after the death of this world, we will be resurrected. We'll have to give an accountability for our deeds. And if we have that iman, tawheed, and we saved ourselves from shirk, if we die with iman, then inshallah we'll be fortunate to enjoy endless bliss and happiness in Jannat. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, the first person to reject the message was his very same uncle Abu Lahab. He said to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that تَمَّنْ لَكَ سَائِرَ الْيَوْمْ أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا, that may you be destroyed throughout the day. Did you gather us for this purpose? To tell us, ma'azallah, so to say, all this nonsensical talk? To speak nonsense to us? Did you call us here to waste our time? So you are the first person to turn away from there. And others followed him. At that point of time, a very few people, a handful of people, accepted Islam and accepted the message of Nabi Karim Sawasim. First and foremost among them, among the male adults, was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, which is why he got the title of Siddiq Akbar. That without hesitation, he accepted the message of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Among the female adults, those that brought immediate iman upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was none other than his beloved wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. Among the children was Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Among the slaves was Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, a handful of people. So the first person that insulted Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and cursed him was none other than his own uncle, Abu Lahab. So in spite of all the love that he showed to Nabi Karim Sa'asim, how many times he must have picked up Nabi Karim Sa'asim as an infant, carried him upon his shoulders, showed love to him, caressed him, kissed him, played with him. But all that was washed down the drain because he did not have this quality of aqidat. He did not fulfill this right of Nabi Karim Sa'asim of being convinced that what Nabi Sa'asim is telling them is absolute truth. That salvation can only come about when we believe in one Allah and we bring proper iman upon Allah and Rasul Karim Sa'asim as a final messenger. After he left from that meeting, Abu Lahab still used to mock at Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There were times when in his circle of friends, he would lift up his two hands, Abu Lahab, and address the two hands and tell them, "Tabban lakuma ma ra'aytu fikuma shay'an mimma qala bihi Muhammad," that may you be destroyed totally. I do not see in you, that is within these two hands, the everlasting bounties of Jannat that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam promises. If these bounties are true, why do we not see them becoming manifest in this world in our hands? He used to make a mockery of the message of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So in return, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala revealed the Surah Lahab, in which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in turn cursed Abu Lahab. That tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. That may the two hands of Abu Lahab be destroyed. He addressed his own hands, so Allah Ta'ala affirmed it. That I will make sure that his two hands are destroyed, and not only the two hands, but watab. He himself will be utterly destroyed. Allah Ta'ala's punishment came down upon him. He died a terrible death thereafter. That he began to develop some sores and boils on his body, from which blood and pus began to ooze out. And the family household members also found this very reprehensible, to the extent that close family members were not prepared to even come close to his bedside when he was stricken with this disease and this illness. They felt it is contagious, will also become ill. They remained a distance away from him. So much so that in that suffering, eventually he died. And after dying also, people were scared to come near to his body. His body lay at home for about 3 days. And in that hot desert sun of the Arabian Peninsula, in 3 days, the body began to decompose, began to rot, and a terrible stench began to emanate from his body. What the result? That the family members were not prepared to give him a decent burial. They got hold of a few laborers and told them to take his body, his corpse away to the desert. So somehow, without making much contact with the body, they somehow managed to get the body to the outskirts of the town, to the desert. They dug up a makeshift hole, a pit, and from a distance they used poles to push and shove his body into the pit. So this was the end of Abu Lahab. That in spite of all that love that he showed for Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but love alone is not sufficient. With that muhabbat, there had to be aqidat. And there was no aqidat on the side of Abu Lahab. And this was his terrible end, which Allah Ta'ala also explains in the Qur'an Kareem, in Surah Al-Lahab. On the other hand, those who showed aqidat and showed true belief in the teachings of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, accepted it as divine revelation, as wahi. Those people, Allah Ta'ala elevated them. And in the forefront among them was none other than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. That when Nabi Karim Sam explained that all this is from divine revelation, wahi, Allah has asked me to convey the message, he was the first person to believe in the message. Because Nabi Sallam said that my talk is motivated by wahi, messages from Allah Ta'ala, immediately believed. Like the hadith which I recited also there, Nabi Sallam says that ma min nabiyyin min al-anbiya illa qad u'tiya ma mithluhu amana ala al-bashar. That every Nabi that came into the world, Allah Ta'ala showed certain miracles on his hands. Then those miracles used to be an incentive for people to bring iman upon that Nabi. Nabi Sa'asim says that the miracle that was shown on my hands was his wahi, the Qur'an Kareem. That in spite of Nabi Kareem Sa'asim being an unlettered person, he had no formal education, he could not read and write. In spite of that, reciting such eloquent verses of the Quran to the people. And such verses in which events of the past nations are mentioned, events of the future, what is to take place in Jannat and Jahannam, and all this with precision, in precise, every minute detail. This was indeed a miracle. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself says that the miracle I have been given is wahi, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the basis of this wahi, that because this is the greatest miracle of all time, no Nabi was given a greater miracle. This is the miracle that is to live until the day of Qiyamah. Today too we have the Quran Kareem adorning our shelves in our cupboards at home. This is a living miracle to stay until the day of Qiyamah. So because it is the greatest miracle, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I have full hope that on the day of Qiyamah, I will have the biggest number of followers that will go with me into Jannah. Because of the strength of this great miracle. So nevertheless, people like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, readily without hesitation, accepted the message of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why Abu Bakr Siddiq was so fortunate to be mentioned in the Quran Karim. Although not by name, but thaniyas naim idhuma fil ghar. That one of the two companions, when they took refuge in the cave at the time of Hijrat migration, when the mushrikeen went out in pursuit of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, they took refuge, shelter in a certain cage where they could remain undetected. They were not found there. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned this companion of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, in the Quran with the words thaniyat nain. Such was the elevated stages of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And look at the sacrifices he made for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of his aqidat, because of his conviction, because of being convinced that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's message is absolutely true, the sacrifices he made we cannot begin to imagine. When they took shelter in the cave, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu noticed there were holes in the walls of the cave. So what he did, he had a sheet with him. He tore it up into pieces and he took parts of the sheets to plug those holes, that in case a scorpion or snake happens to come out of those holes, they should not harm Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was one hole that was left unplugged. He did not have a further piece of material fabric to plug that hole. So in order to plug that hole, he pushed his foot into that hole. And it is mentioned that when he pushed his foot in that hole, it so happened there was a snake in that hole. And the snake bit the foot of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. The pain was unbearable. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had fallen asleep. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was resting on the lap of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Bakr Siddiq felt that if I cry out in pain, I will disturb the sleep of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he bore that pain with great difficulty. But eventually, tears began to stream out of his eyes because of him restraining himself, trying to bear that intolerable pain. What the result is that when the tears fell on the face of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam opened his eyes and asked him what had happened. Then he explained the incident. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his beloved Mubarak saliva on that place where he was bitten by the snake, and Allah Ta'ala granted him cure. So such tremendous sacrifices. On one occasion when the Sahaba was sitting with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the discussion began that what is the three most beloved things to every person seated there. Everyone put forward his opinion. Abu Bakr was asked that what are the three things most beloved to you? So the three things that were most beloved to him, Allah Ta'ala granted him all three of his wishes. He said, Al-Malu fi khidmati Rasulillahi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Al-Bintu fi khidmati Rasulillahi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, An-Nazru ila wajhi Rasulillahi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are the three things most beloved to me. That my wealth should be spent and sacrificed in the service of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala granted this wish at the time of the Battle of Tabuk, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made an appeal for funds, financial assistance in order to purchase weapons and conveyances in order to undertake this long journey to Tabuk. Then Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu was a wealthy person. He donated a great deal of horses, a great deal of weapons. Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu on that occasion thought to himself that today I will outdo Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He went home and brought half of his household possessions, belongings, and donated that towards an expedition. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, what have you brought? He said, I brought half my belongings. What have you left behind? He said, the other half. When Abu Bakr Siddiq Radhan came, and he put all his belongings, donated it for the expedition, he emptied his entire household. He did not leave a single possession behind. The entire belongings he brought and put it in the service of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so that the historians write, in those days, because people's walls were made of mud, when they used sewing needles to mend the clothing, they would poke the needle into the wall. When they needed it, it was easy to find. So when he emptied his household possession, he even groped along all the walls of his home to see if there was some needle stuck there. He even took those needles and contributed that as well towards the expedition. He left nothing behind. And the historians also write that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, because he spent all his wealth for the cause of deen, he was not a wealthy person at that point of time. In the old days prior to accepting the Nabuwwat of Nabi Karim, someone was a well-known merchant, wealthy. But after bringing Iman upon Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to spend all this wealth for the cause of deen. So the historian writes, they write that all the belongings that Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu came and donated, in terms of value, it was not even equal in value to half of the belongings of Umar Farooq radhiyallahu ta'ala. But in spite of that, his sacrifice was greater. Like for example, if a person has 1,000,000 rands, he contributes 500,000 rands for the cause of deen, it is a tremendous sacrifice. But he has left behind the other half, he has spent 50% of his wealth. On the other hand, a poor person may have only 100 rands, but he gives every cent for the cause of Allah. Yeah, the sacrifice is greater. Even though in terms of quantity, 100 rands is much less than 500,000 rands. But the sacrifice greater, he has spent 100% of all his wealth, and that person has spent only 50%. So such was the sacrifice of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And the second wish he put forward, that al-bintu fi khidmati Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I wish to give one of my daughters in the service of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala granted him that wish as well. His beloved daughter, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, became the beloved wife of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third wish, an-nazru ila wajhi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I have this fervent desire to keep looking at the beloved countenance, face of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah ta'ala granted him that wish as well, that he became the constant companion of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He even became the companion in this cave, Thaniyat Nain. Even there in solitude, he could observe the beloved face of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in were generally very afraid to lift their eyes and look fully into the face of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such was the awe of the remarkable face of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They could not look at him fully in the face. Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu was granted this great gift and boon and bounty by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some narrations, for example in the book Izalatul Khafa, with regard to the incident in the cave where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, when Abu Bakr pushed his foot into that one hole to plug it and a snake bit him, in Izalatul Khafa it is mentioned, although it is not a very strong narration, but perhaps there could be some truth in it, that when Hazrat Isa ala Nabina wa salatu salam mentioned to his followers, to his disciples, that there will be coming a Nabi Akhirul Zaman in the latter ages, the final messenger will appear. So one of his disciples developed an urge to make ziyarat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to look at Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he asked Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala must grant me this wish, that I live long enough to see the face of this Nabi Akhirul Zaman, the final messenger. So Allah ta'ala sent wahi to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they tell your disciple that in human form it will not be possible. But if he is prepared, I will transform him into that of a snake. And then as a snake he can live for a few centuries up to the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and be able to see Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is written in that narration that in that cave the snake that bit the foot of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, was that very same disciple of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam that was transformed into a snake and lived for centuries. It was as if the reason for him biting the foot of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, that listen man, move your foot. I have waited for centuries to see Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, waited in this cave for centuries. Today I have the opportunity and you are obscuring my view. So that is why he bit the foot of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, so that he could make ziyarat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nevertheless, this was a sacrifice of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, the amount of aqidat and conviction. When the incident of Miraj took place, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the journey from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Baitul Maqdis, and from there onwards through the seven heavens, and then went to converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and was granted the gift of the five times daily salah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, some of the mushrikeen went up to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and they found this an opportune moment to try and shake the iman and the conviction and the aqidat of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. They went up to him, and they felt that even he would find this hard to believe. That how is it possible that in the space of one night, that also not the entire night, in the space of a little portion of the night, for a person to travel from Makkah to Baitul Maqdis, and from there through to the seven heavens, in a space of a few hours, how can that ever be possible? So they went up to Abu Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and said to him, that listen, na'udhu billah, your Nabi is babbling about this journey that he undertook of Miraj. What nonsensical talk is this? Are you prepared to believe what he is saying? So Abu Bakr Siddiq radan immediately retorted by replying that listen, when we believe totally that daily, practically, Jibreel alayhi salam from the heavens descends with the wahi, with the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that also is a very lengthy journey. But in a few split seconds, he appears before Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, conveys the verses of the Quran, conveys the message, and returns to the heavens. When this is possible in a few split seconds, when we believe that, then why is it not possible for Allah Ta'ala to have the qudrat and the power that just as He can send a farishta from above, He can summon His Nabi from below to the seven heavens and make him travel at great distance in a few split seconds. So even without having seen it, the normal human world says seeing is believing. But without even seeing this, I am prepared to believe this and I do believe this. So this was the siddiqiyat and the aqidat of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. On one occasion, Nabi Karim SAW mentioned that بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَسُوكُ بَقَرَةً وَقَدْ حَمَلَ عَلَيْهَا مَتَاعًا. The person was busy herding and pushing his ox. He was traveling with an ox in a condition that he had loaded the ox with a great amount of goods, which was unbearable for that ox to carry. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continues that فَلْتَفَتَتْ إِلَيْهِ. This ox turned to that man and rebuked him. That إِنِّي لَمْ أُخْلَقْ لِهَذَا إِنِّي أُخْلَقْ لِلْحَرْثِ. That I have been not created to carry heavy loads. That is the work of an ass and a donkey, of a mule. I have been created to plow the fields, to prepare the fields for planting and harvesting. That is the purpose of my creation. Why are you oppressing me by putting this heavy load on my back? When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam related this incident, فَقَالَ النَّاسُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. People has heard this, they said in astonishment, Subhanallah. How is it possible that an animal can talk to a human being, converse? On that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَإِنِّي أُؤْمِنُ بِهِ وَأَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ. That I sincerely believe that Allah Ta'ala gave this ox the power of speech, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, without me even asking him, I know he will also believe, and Umar also will believe. Such was the aqidat of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu majmain. So that aqidat is very, very important. Abu Lahab had unparalleled love for his nephew Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But because there was no aqidat combined with that love, was muhabbat, there was no aqidat, so that muhabbat also was washed down the drain, it was worthless to him, he will be in eternal damnation in the fire of Jahannam, punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the second right, that of aqidat. We come on to the third right, that of itaat, obeying Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once we have created and developed that love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we believe with firm conviction that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam words are haq and true, motivated by divine revelation, by wahi. Then the third right of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his ummat is that of itaat, obedience of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, implementing the teachings of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bringing alive the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. That is itaat. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Atiu Allah wa Atiu Rasul. Obey Allah and obey the Rasul of Allah. Allah says, May yuti Rasul, faqad ata Allah. He who obeys the Rasul has in truth obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wama atakum Rasul fakhudu, wama nahakum anufantahu. Whatever the Nabi of Allah has brought to you, hold fast onto that, practice upon that. Whatever he has prohibited, abstain totally from that. This is itaat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the third element, the third right of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his ummat, that after being convinced that his teachings are absolute haq and true, then to implement those teachings, to bring those sunnahs alive in our lives, that also is very, very important. And this was the eagerness and the fervor of the Sahaba Kiram radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. At all instances, they used to bring alive the commands of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were prepared to put it into practice immediately. On one occasion, it was the day of Jummah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on the minbar delivering the khutbah, and some people, because of some reasons, valid excuses, they happened to approach the masjid a bit late, delayed, and as they were coming, they were still approaching the masjid. Some other people were standing in the masjid, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed them all by saying, Ijlisu, sit down. The people all take a seat, sit down, and listen to the khutbah attentively. Among the people that were approaching from outside the masjid was Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. The word of Nabi Karim sallam reached his ears, Ijlisu. He did not even bother to enter the masjid. There and then he sat down immediately outside the masjid. Look at this itaat, obedience. Because he thought to himself that if I take a few steps forward into the masjid, because common sense tells a person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, men come into the masjid and sit down. But he thought to himself that if I delay and do not carry out this injunction of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happens that before I enter the masjid to sit down, if Malakul Maut has to come and my ruh is extracted, I will die in the condition that I was unable to fulfill this command of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, outside the masjid, he sat down immediately. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, that come into the masjid and sit down. Then he came into the masjid. So this is what you call itaat. They were prepared to carry out the command of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the battle of Uhud, Hinda, who was a wife of Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, husband and wife at that point of time were still mushrikeen, they had not entered the fold of Islam. So Hinda employed the services of his slave by the name of Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, who also was not a Muslim at that point of time. Later he was also blessed with the good fortune of Islam. So she employed him and gave him the task of killing Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, the beloved uncle of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the battlefield of Uhud. So he completed this task because he was a slave, he was dressed in slave-like clothing, torn and tattered clothing. An honorable person on the battlefield, even if he knows that this is a slave of the opposite army, he would not touch that person, knowing that he had not come to fight, he has come to serve his master. So Hamza radiallahu ta'ala saw him but still walk past him. But he was given a spear that had, it was pointed on either side and also dipped in poison to make sure the task is completed. When Hamza radiallahu ta'ala walked past Wahshi, he attacked him viciously with that spear and eventually martyred him, put him to death. And on the instruction of Hinda, he cut off the ears, nose and a few other organs of his body, which he then took to Hinda. Hinda made a necklace out of that, put it around her neck, and she began to dance in great joy that today I have managed to kill Hamza radiallahu ta'ala and use Wahshi for this purpose. And she began to rejoice, jump about, dance about, prance about with that necklace around her neck. So this incident occurred that Wahshi was the person responsible for killing Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. When the Fatah Makkah took place, the conquest of Makkatul Mukarrama, many people entered the fold of Islam, people like Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, even his wife of his Hinda, she also was blessed with Islam. Wahshi and a few other people, they fled from Makkatul Mukarrama, and they felt that perhaps our iman will not be accepted. In particular, Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, he felt that because I killed the uncle of Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can I ever be accepted as one of the brothers of the companions of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How can I become his follower? So he and a few other people sent a message from the hiding place to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that your Quran Karim praises the Ibadur Rahman, the true servants of Allah, that these are people that la yad'una ma'allahi ilahan akhar, وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. The true servants of Allah are those who do not ascribe partners to Allah, they do not commit zina, they do not kill people unjustly. So they wrote in that letter that we have committed all these atrocities. We have committed shirk, we have also committed zina, we have also killed people in cold blood, in particular Wahshi. He had killed the uncle of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. So he wrote back asking, Halli min tawbatin. Is there a way of tawbah for me? Repentance? Is there scope? So in reply to his question, a verse of the Quran was revealed, Illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan saliha, fa ulaika yubaddilullahu sayyatim hasanat, wa kana Allahu ghafura rahima. That except for those people who repent from their shirk, وَآمَنَ, and they bring to iman, and thereafter they do righteous deeds. For such people the glad tidings is, Allah Ta'ala will convert even the evil deeds into good deeds. This verse, Nabi Sallam said to his scribe to write it down, and send the letter to Wahshi, and to his companions. When the letter reached them, they were still a bit skeptical. They said, and they wrote a note back to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that this verse is a condition, that after iman wa amila amalan saliha, that after iman to do righteous deeds, then Allah Ta'ala gives these glad tidings. What happens if we bring iman and we do not get the opportunity to do a single good deed and we pass away? Halli min tawbatin. Is there still a way for tawbah? This letter reached Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then a further verse was revealed, where Allah Ta'ala gives further glad tidings, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. That those who die in a condition of shirk and kufr, they will never be forgiven. But if a person has iman, no matter what sins he committed, Allah is prepared to forgive those people whomsoever he wishes. So this verse was written and sent to Wahshi and his friends. When the letter came to him, he was still skeptical. He said that this verse also has a condition, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah will forgive whomsoever He wishes. What happens if Allah does not wish to forgive me? So finally a verse was revealed to console him, to give him a bit of courage. The verse that was revealed, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. They say, O Nabi of Allah, to my servants, that all my servants who have transgressed against their souls, they have committed sins, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all sins. He is oft forgiving and merciful. When this verse reached Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, now he somehow mustered up the courage that now I have great hope in the mercy of Allah. He presented himself to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recited the Shahada and became a Sahabi, bestowed with the good glad tidings of radiallahu an wa radu an. That he became a Sahabi, that Allah was pleased with him and these Sahaba were pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the point that I wish to make, the itaat point. When he accepted Islam, he used to come in the service of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba used to be seated in front of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to render his advices, etc. While rendering advice on one occasion, his gaze fell on Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala. Obviously being a Sahabi, he was also keen to take the advice of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eyes fell on him. Suddenly, the memory was jogged. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again remembered that this was the very same person that killed my uncle Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. So later when the majlis people had dispersed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala and explained to him that, listen, you can only derive total benefit from me if there is no barrier in between. But because whenever I see you, I remember my uncle that you had killed and murdered my uncle in cold blood. So I feel maybe there will be a barrier. You will not be able to benefit totally from me because of this hidden barrier. So it is my request that هَلْ تَسْتَطِيعُ أَن تُغَيِّبَ وَجْهَكَ عَنِّي. Is it possible to make yourself scarce? Go away from Medina Munawwara. Stay elsewhere. No matter where you are, you will still benefit from my teachings. But by being here, whenever I see you in the gathering, I remember my uncle, it will create a barrier from me benefiting you. You will benefit living elsewhere. So immediately, he left Madinatul Munawwara. This is what you call itaat, obedience of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A poet has depicted this very beautifully. He says, أُرِيدُ وِصَالَهُ وَيُرِيدُ حَجْرِي فَأَتْرُكُ مَا أُرِيدُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. That I wish to be joined with him. I wish to sit in his company. But he wishes to separate me from him. So no problem. Because I have so much love for him, I am prepared to forsake my desire for the sake of his desire. So he went away to Syria. He lived in Damascus. And he only returned to Madina Munawwara after the demise of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had the good fortune of taking part in the battle of Yamama that was fought against the false Nabi, the one who claimed false prophethood, Musaylamatul Kadhab. And on the battlefield, Allah Ta'ala granted Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala the good fortune of killing this great enemy of Islam, Musaylamatul Kadhab. Allah Ta'ala took this work from him. So later when people used to sometimes tell him in a jeering tone, whenever they used to meet him, Anta qatilu Hamza, were you the person that killed Hamza radiallahu ta'ala? He would reply that Na'am wa ana qatilu Musaylama tilka bitilka. That yes, even though I committed the heinous crime of killing Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, but Allah Ta'ala used me to kill Musaylamatul Kadhab, inshallah, tit for tat, this will make up for that. So this was itaat, that as soon as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him to leave Medina Munawwara, immediately he left Medina Munawwara to live in Damish, in Damascus, in Syria. So these are the three rights of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is muhabbat, aqidat and itaat. And to complete the whole picture, like a cherry on top, one further right of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam upon us, that whenever we hear the name of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to at least recite sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to constantly engage in sending durood upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is one of the great rights of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his ummah. This is like the cherry on top of these three other rights. That we should make it a point, not too difficult. Minimum daily, 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening, durood sharif, it is not too difficult. Even if we recite the briefest durood sharif, which is just sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is not too difficult to recite in the morning 100 times, in the evening 100 times, at least thereby, to a certain extent, we can fulfill the right of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and such great benefits. Man salla alayhi wahidatan, sallallahu alayhi ashara. That he will send durood upon me once, Allah Ta'ala sends 10 blessings upon that person, 10 mercies upon that person. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warns, Al-Bakhilu man dhukirtu indahu walam yusalli alayhi. That a miserly, stingy person is that person that in whose presence my name is taken and he does not send durood upon me. So this is one of the rights of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sending durood upon Rasul Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in great abundance, great virtue, great benefit, doesn't take up a lot of time, but thereby we can fulfill the right of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In a gathering of this nature, ulama tell us that the first time that you hear the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in any one gathering, the first time to recite durood is wajib and compulsory. Thereafter, over and over again, when the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, it is still mustahab and preferable to keep saying Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam whenever we hear the name of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In one hadith, Nabi Sallam gives a glad tiding that inna awla an-nasi bi yawm al-qiyamah aktharuhum alayya salatan, or kama qala li salatu salam, that the person who will be closest to me on the day of Qiyamah is the person who sends the most durud upon me. So look at that proximity of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can be earned and attained by virtue of reciting abundant durud upon Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allama Ibn Hibban rahmatullah used to say that perhaps this hadith is something that indicates glad tidings for the muhaddithin, because those who are engaged in teaching, learning hadith throughout the day, hundreds, sometimes thousands of times, the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes in a hadith and they recite Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the muhaddithin are those people who recite durood in great abundance. Such great fadila. Many of us may have heard the incident of the Qasida Burda, which we hear time and again. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abada ala habibika khayri khalqi kullimi. That line comes over and over again in that poem. Many of us may have heard the background of this poem. The poet Allama Busayri rahmatullahi, a resident of Egypt, on one occasion, he was totally stricken with paralysis. He suffered a stroke that rendered half of his body totally useless. He had no movement whatsoever, no feeling. Half the body paralyzed. But he was a person who had great love for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in that ill state, he used to lie down in his bed, recite abundant durood upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he became so much stricken with this illness, even his close friends began to leave him. That is the nature of the world, the nature of humankind today. When a person has wealth and health, he gets a great amount of friends around him, a circle of friends. But when he loses the wealth, he loses health, then people begin to drop off like flies. Slowly, slowly, they disappear from the scene. He had virtually no friends left. But he knew that Allah Ta'ala is always close to him. Allah is a curer. So in that sickly state, once he got the inspiration to write this poem, which today we know as Qasida Burda. He wrote this entire poem, beautiful poem. And then he used to read it over and over again. One night, as he was about to sleep, he recited the entire poem. The initial name of the poem was Al-Kawakibu Durriya Fi Manaqibi Khayr al-Bariya. That was the actual name that he kept of this poem. Qasida Burda, the name came on after he saw the dream that I'm about to relate. Otherwise, the name initially was this, that Al-Kawakibu Durriya Fi Manaqibi Khayr al-Bariya. So one night, after he read this poem that he had composed, he made fervent dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, through the barakat of this poem I have written, through the wasila, through the agency of this poem, in which I have honored your beloved Nabi, I have sent salutations upon him time and again, oh Allah, you grant me cure from this ailment of mine, from this disease of mine. So he went to sleep. In his sleep, he makes ziyarat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that I've heard you've written a poem in my honor. I wish to listen to that poem. So in the dream, he read out the entire poem to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became so happy, so overjoyed with the poem that he heard. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a mantle in his hand, sort of a shawl, a little sheet. He put it over the body of Allama Busayri in the dream, and then he made dua for Allama Busayri. In the dream, he sees when Nabi Sallam removed the mantle, the sheet from his body, he was totally cured of his stroke, of his paralysis. When his eyes opened, then he found movement in his body. Half of the body that was paralyzed now became totally functional. He was cured of that paralysis totally with the barakat of writing this beloved and this really profound poem regarding salutations on Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, regarding the life of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in honor of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he went outside that day, walking, like a very, very healthy person, a certain person of the neighborhood, a poor person, a hermit, that used to travel from village to village, that day happened to be in that village. He saw Allama Abu Sayyid Rahmatullahi. He was also taken aback by surprise that today he's walking, he's fit and healthy. But then he came close to Allama Abu Sayyid and related to him that, listen, I also saw a dream last night. In the dream I saw that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi had come to meet you, and you read out this beautiful poem to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when Nabi Sallallahu heard the poem, Nabi Sallallahu was totally overjoyed. So this poor person, the hermit, tells Allama Abu Sayyid Rahmatullahi, I beseech you that please grant me, give me a copy of this poem. So then he gave a copy, wrote it out, and gave it to this poor person that really loved this poem. And this poem eventually then spread throughout the Islamic world, because Nabi saw him in a dream through that mantle, that sheet upon Allama Abu Sayyid Rahmatullahi. That is why it became more popularly now known as Qasidah Burda, the poem of the mantle, the poem of the sheet, the poem of the shawl. So in this way, through the barakat of durood, Allah Ta'ala granted him cure too. We may have heard of another buzruk, Allama Sayyid Ahmad Kabir Rifa'i Rahmatullahi. Look at his amazing insolence. When he went to Madinatul Munawwara to make ziyarah of the Rawza of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a sincere person, a muttaqi, a wali of Allah, a lover of Rasul Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who used to recite abundant durood upon Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On one occasion when he went before the Rawza Aqdas, and it was a year 555 Hijri, 6th century of the Hijrat, he went in front of the Rawza Aqdas, and he recited durood upon Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, being a Sayyid, being amongst the descendants of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he recited durood in Arabic, he also said these words, that salutation, salam to you, O my ancestor. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the ancestor, he was a descendant. So miraculously, people that were standing there, historians record on that day, 6,000 people were standing there. And they all heard the reply from the Rawza Aqdas. Like that, the hadith also tells us, from a distance when we recite durood upon Nabi Karim Sa'asim, there are special malaika wandering throughout the world, they pick up this durood and they present it at the Rawza in Medina to Nabi Karim Sa'asim, that so and so, son of so and so, has sent this durood. But when a person goes personally in front of the Rawza, Nabi Sa'asim, the hadith says, Nabi Sa'asim says, I will hear the durood myself personally. And Nabi Sallam replies to the salam, but we cannot hear that salam. On this occasion, people heard the voice from inside, Nabi Sallam replying to this Sayyid Akbar Kabir Rifai Rahmatullahi, that salams to you as well, O my descendant. People heard the voice. And then he was so overjoyed, he called out to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that, O Nabi of Allah, I cannot make ziyarat of your entire body, but at least grant me the good fortune to make ziyarat of some part of your body. Then 6,000 people witnessed this. Among those people was also Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi. He was also standing there. And they saw the Mubarak hand of Nabi Sallam emerging from the Rawza. And Sayyid Akbar Kabir Rifai stepped forward and he kissed the beloved hand of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then Nabi Sallam's hand disappeared back into the Rawza. So look at this amazing miracle. How blessed this person was, Sayyid Ahmad Kabir Rifai Rahmatullahi, in the presence of 6,000 witnesses, amongst them Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi. So blessed he was that he kissed the beloved hand of Rasul Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the barakah and the virtue and the blessings of sending abundant durood upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the ability of appreciating this favor that Allah has conferred upon us. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that Allah has conferred this blessing upon the believers, that He sent to them a Nabi from their own species, that is such a great blessing that He enjoys all these rights over us. We have to fulfill all these rights. So to sum up again, the rights, muhabbat, aqidat, ita'at, love for Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, full conviction that the words brought by Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are the absolute truth, and then implementing the words of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and together with that, the cherry on top, to recite abundant durood upon Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ta'ala inshallah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. As I mentioned, the next week's majlis inshallah, the first week of Shaban, on the 31st of May, which will probably be the first or the second of Shaban, Allah willing. So inshallah we'll meet again on that day. And as usual, those brothers that sleep over and those others that want to sleep over, accommodation is provided. And our normal morning majlis, inshallah, half an hour before the Adhan. Nowadays Adhan takes place at 5:40, 20 to 6. So inshallah at 5:10, we will have our morning dhikr majlis, inshallah. Brothers are invited to attend. And those sleeping over in the morning, inshallah, breakfast also will be provided. Allah Ta'ala accept, inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. سلام على المرسلين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأنزله المقعد المقرب عندك. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على سيدنا محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما بارك على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما بارك على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما بارك على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما بارك على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما بارك على سيدنا إبراهيم وترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما تحننت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما سلمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوصيلة والفضيلة والبقاء محمود الذي وعدته وزهي عنا ما هو أهله وزهي أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما بارك على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته كما بارك على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما جعلتها على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله تحيات الله وصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات لله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني اللهم اغفر لنا واهدنا التحيات الطيبات والصلوات الملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله تحيات الله صلوات الله زاكيات الله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات زاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمد عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات زاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله
Small correction, that incident that I mentioned about the Isa alayhi salam disciple being turned into a snake, I mentioned it is in the Zal al-Isra. In that book, when I was sitting here thinking of the majlis, we heard this from Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib. Kangui rahmatullah, this incident, it was rather in the kitab called Tariqh Khamis. That's where the incident mentioned, not in his Zal al-Khafa. So inshallah, tomorrow morning as I mentioned, we'll have our dhikr majlis early. Half an hour before Adhan at 5:10, 10 past 5, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ya hannan ya mannan ya badi'a samawati wal ard wa ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Wa qina adhaban qabr wa qina adhaban hashr wa qina adhaban faqr wa qina adhaban dayn. Wa hashurna yawm al qiyamati ma'al muttaqin ma'al abrar. ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم احبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من الداعين واجعلنا من الذين يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر واجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله